that. I'll just go a little further and say, man, I enjoyed the far out of that. Didn't you? That's some good singing. Hey, I like when the Lord's in singing and testifying. Amen. I like it when it ain't in the flesh, don't you? But you feel something out of it. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I don't go to church to put on a show or to come watch one. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Just come let the Lord just do what he wants to do. If we come to church and said, Lord, just use me however you want to. Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing? You wouldn't be able to just sit there. Amen. Amen. They sing some of them songs. I know we're tired. I know I wore you out this morning already, and we're full, and you're yawning. Amen. We're tired. But hey, that was a lot to be rejoicing about right there. You let a lot of that just soak in on you. Hey, I'm telling you, we've been able to contain ourselves.
You're right.
Amen. Let's take your King James Bible, turn to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. You find your place, say amen. Let's stand to our feet and we'll read the Word of God. Begin reading verse number 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord.
Yes.
And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. I want to preach you a message on this question. Who was blind?
Hey.
Who was blind? Kevin, pray for me.
Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again. My God in heaven, letting us come back to the house of God, as brothers already said. God, enjoying every song of Zion. Lord, enjoying the people of Zion singing it. God, enjoy the good testimonies, and we pray, God, for just a few moments of time. What we understand, God, is just as the disciples were in the garden, how you said that our flesh is weary, but God, our spirit indeed is willing. Ask you, Lord, that you'd fill up Brother Nelson, God, I pray. Put a guard in his mouth, help him not say nothing contrary to the word of God. Oh, Lord, I pray, give him good direction. God, give him good discernment of the Holy Ghost. And God, I pray is, you'd help him preach. Help us to listen, God, and to hear and to respond to heaven. Lord, we pray for somebody here lost this evening. And, oh, God, that today would be the day and call on the name of Christ and be saved. Lord, we look up to heaven and we ask you simply, help us, Lord, for we cannot help ourselves. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We see here that the Bible tells us in verse 35, that it came to pass that he came nigh. Oh, I remember the time that he came nigh unto me. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm glad that today that Jesus came and he looked just for me. The Bible said that he came and he found a certain man. I'm glad that he came looking just for me. When he came, he left the portals of heaven, but he came looking just for me. That's how much he loved me. That's how much he cared for me. That's how much concern he had for me. He said, a certain man. He came after just that man that day. And the day you got saved, God just came just for you that day. The message was just for you. The singing was just for you. The testifying was just for you. It was laid just for you. Boy, that's love, isn't it? Oh, isn't that love? We see this crowd that as he came, this man was blind. He could not see. He could not know what was going on. But he knew that something was going on. They say that a blind person, their other sight, their other senses are heightened. Their sense of smell, the sense of hearing, touch, all that is heightened because they cannot see. So that very day, he heard something was a little different. Oh, the day when I knew I was lost, I did not see, I did not understand everything, but I could feel that something was different. There was something different about that message. There's something different about that song. There's something different about that feeling down in my soul. There was something different going on in my life. As he drew nigh, he knew that there was something going on. But notice this, nothing had changed until he drew nigh to him. The blind man could not get to him, but he could get to the blind man. Praise God, I'm glad that God loved me so much that he drew nigh to me. Oh, yes, we are to draw nigh to God now that you're saved. But before then, it was God that drew nigh unto you. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Yeah. A certain man, I knew in the John chapter number 5, there was a pool there, the pool of Bethesda. And there was an impotent man there. He had been there for 38 years impotent, though there was a multitude of people.
Oh, yes.
Do you understand? There was a multitude of people. And a certain time in the day, the angel would go down and trouble the water, and the first that would get down and get into the pool would be healed of any disease he had. A multitude of people. And the Bible says later on in the chapter down, I think verse number 5 or so, it said, but there was a certain man. Though there was a multitude, the Bible said that there was a certain man. Oh, thank God. Though there was millions that was lost on this earth, there was a God that singled me out. There was somebody that had prayed for me and rung the bells of heaven and got God's attention and sicked his dogs on me. And they got on my trail. And when they found me, they found a lost boy that needed Christ Jesus. I can't get over that. A multitude of people, but he came for the certain man. They was everybody had all kinds of trouble, all kinds of diseases, but he came for that certain man. Oh, I'm glad he came for me. Oh, I'm so glad that he came for me. The Bible said, but sir, he said, I have no man. He didn't call him Lord. He didn't recognize him as Lord. He said, sir, I have no man. Basically, get him down the water. When he would, others would step before him.
Right.
Hey, let me tell you, a lot of people weren't as concerned about you getting saved as they was for their own self.
You're right. That's true.
Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing can stir my heart up more than when somebody steps out of a bench and they come down to an altar with a broken heart and the whole church sits still. Boy, that stirs my soul in a bad way. I want to punch you in the throat. Ain't that right? I'm going to tell you, we was in a church not long ago. Church been praying for this woman for a long time. And that poor church is really having a hard time. They spiritually, they're just going through some deadness. And they're struggling. Yet there was a woman they'd prayed for, I think they told me 8 years. As we would begin to preach, I could see her heart just crumbling back there. And finally she stepped out. And she come and she got up to the altar. Not a soul come to pray with her. Now when that happens, my wife knows I'm about to holler at her. I said, Amy, won't you come? My wife, come down and pray with that woman. That's the same thing that happened to this man at Bethesda. This man could not get himself there, yet he knew he needed to go. But he couldn't get himself there. So you know what everybody else done? They passed him by and said, I got to deal with my problem. I got to deal with my issue. I got to deal with who's blind? Who's more blind? Is it us that sit here on the pew, the one that comes to the altar that needs Christ? Who's more blind? Who's more blind? My friend, I'm going to tell you, when somebody comes to an altar and their heart's broken to pieces, I think you ought to just empty out, gather around them. Hey, just put everything off to the side. If the preacher's preaching, he'll keep on preaching. Don't worry about it. Just come and fill up around this thing, around them people, and pray with them. Pray with them. Oh, that's encouraging. There's nothing more discouraging than going to the altar and pray by yourself.
Go ahead, preacher.
Amen. I've had people tell me before they've got up and prayed and say, no one cared for me. How about that? Do you know how much courage it takes to walk out of a pew and come down to an altar? You should, because you should have done it already.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Yes.
You should already have that feeling in your heart. You knew how much courage it took for you to slide out of there when nobody wanted nothing to do with you. And the whole town knew your story. And they know where you've been and what you've been into. But you just said, you know, I don't care. I got to get to God. And I don't care who's sitting beside of me. I don't care who's sitting in front of me. I just know I got to get to the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. You know what brotherly love is? Brotherly love is when another comes along and slides his hand up around them and say, I don't care where you've been either. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what belief you said you was. I'm going to lay down here and I'm going to labor in prayer with you.
Yes.
Praise God. But let me tell you what happened to the Pool of Bethesda. The young man, the man of 38 years, he never went to the water. He didn't have to. You know why? Because Jesus said, take up thy bed and walk. And the Bible said, immediately. He didn't have to beg God for nothing. I've heard people say, I beg God to save me. We don't have to beg Him. I'm glad that we have a heart that we want to. But praise God, you just ask and you shall receive. Praise God, He's a God that saves immediately. You don't have to wait on the Holy Ghost. You don't have to wait on the Pope or the soap on the rope. Praise God, you get it all right there. Amen, praise God. And if you don't believe that, you're wrong. I'm telling you that you get it all when you get saved. You may not understand it all, but God will explain it to you on the way to heaven. Amen. That's good preaching right there. But the Bible said that it was a certain man. Oh man, ain't you glad you was that certain one. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you may be that. You are the certain one tonight. Amen. But here we see that, my friend, they said, there's a certain blind man, he sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, amen, he won't know, who is this?
Yeah, right.
Now let me tell you something. This crowd was following Jesus. They had already seen miracle after miracle after miracle. They had seen God work. They had seen God move. They had seen God heal people. They'd seen it all. Does that sound like anybody? What have you saw here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church? Have you seen people get healed? Have you seen people get saved? Have you seen God move in mighty ways? Have you seen God do this and seen God do that and seen God do this and do that that you never dreamed that He would do? Surely you have. I remember when my wife had cancer and we went to church and I was pastoring. And she couldn't be around anybody because her immune system was so low. And she said that she had prayed that morning that she could lead somebody to the Lord. I've got a good wife. We waited till everybody got in the house of the Lord and my wife would slip in, no hair, sick, pale, just terrible. Waited till everybody got seated so she could slide in the foyer so she wouldn't be around anybody. Some of my dear members had put a chair back there so she could sit there. No one knew she'd prayed that prayer. She prayed that prayer, come to church. Guess what happened? We was up there in the choir. I'd never seen a service like it in my life. I hope I get to again. We were in the choir, and there's a young boy in the choir, dropped right in the floor in the choir, getting saved. There was a woman about halfway on this side of the wall, stepped out of the aisle, dropped right in the aisle, and got right with God. There's a little boy that come out of the pew and went to the foyer to my wife and said, I got to get saved. And she led him to the Lord right there. You can't make this stuff up. That's what God does. Praise God. There's no greater reward on the face of this earth than kneeling down and leading somebody to the foot of Jesus. There's no better thing in this world other than being saved than leading somebody else there. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing. It encouraged my heart when your dear pastor asked the men, one word, what do you want to see in your service? And a greater majority of them was they wanted to see somebody saved. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're seeing people saved in your church, you shouldn't even be sitting here right now. You ought to be praising God. Let me tell you, these people had saw thing after thing after thing that God had done. And my friend, before long, this crowd got immune to it. Amen. They got immune to it. They just seen the goodness of God so much and seen God move so much, they took it for granted. Are you listening to me? They took it for granted, and it was like water running off a duck's back. And when they introduced the Lord to them, the man said, what's going on? You know how they introduced the Lord? It's Jesus of Nazareth. What did the Bible say about Jesus of Nazareth? The Bible said that they said there was nothing good to come out of Nazareth. And they introduced the Lord as Jesus of Nazareth. Are you kidding me? If you had to, Brother Kevin, introduce the Lord to somebody right now, you had the Lord right here. We couldn't contain ourselves, first of all. But if we had him right here and we had to introduce him, I do not think either you or I would say, this is Jesus of Nazareth.
Right.
Now you all be quiet. This is Jesus of Nazareth. Be quiet. They had seen so much. They were walking in the shadow with Jesus, seeing miracle after miracle, answered prayer after answered prayer after answered prayer. How many, if I went down these pews and said, has God answered a prayer for you? You'd have to tell me yes and give me a list that was a mile long. Has God done anything for you in this church? Has God done anything for this family in this church? Has God done anything for you in this church? Has God done anything for this family in this church? I could go row by row, and I guarantee you'd have a story to tell. You would have a testimony for God. You would have something to say. Yes, I came to the house of God. My heart was broken. My family was in pieces. My life was in shambles. But God helped me in this church.
Amen.
Amen. You are to amen at a whole lot louder than what you just did.
Amen.
Now, if this gets on your toes, stick your whole foot out there. We get it out. There's sometimes, if we ain't careful, we'll take the blessings of God for granted because he's poured out so much on us that we're immune to it. Oh, but let me grab you by the hand and let me take you down the road to some churches that I go in as an evangelist. When you go and there's 10 people sitting there and the pastor's got a broken heart and the people don't know what to do. Oh, let me take you to some places where a man is standing not many miles from this church and said he's not heard a baby cry in his church in 4 years. Let me take you on down just a little bit further down this very road to another church that a man is praying that he sees somebody saved. Ain't saw a soul saved in the house of God in more than 8 years. My friend, if God has blessed you and blessed this church, you ought to have a praise for him.
Amen.
Don't take the blessings that God has given you in this church for granted. They introduced him. They said, oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, my friend, don't you know they had a better title than that? Oh, if I could introduce you today to my Savior, I would say, this is my Savior. This is the one that saved me by His blood. This is the one that left the portals of heaven to come after a certain man and a multitude of people. This is the one that I pray to, and He listens and hears and answers my prayer. This is the one that give me a job and give me eyes so that I can put my feet on the floor and be have a vehicle to get to my job. Friend, we take it all for granted. You got food on your table. He's the provider. Amen. You paid your bills. He's the provider. You didn't do it on your own. Did you get yourself here? Thank God. These people praying that they'd have the health to get to the house of God again. These people praying, Lord, heal my lameness that I can get to the house of God. These people in a nursing home that's laid there for years that would love to be in the house of God one more time. Don't take it for granted. Oh, they took God for granted. They just said, hey, this is just Jesus of Nazareth. This is just Him. It's just Jesus. I've said this before, preaching places, they get to the sense, they say, it's no big deal, it's just Jesus. Are you kidding me? This is the Savior of the world. This is the King of kings and the Lord of love. You're an heir and a joint heir. That means whatever He's got, you own it too. You say, but Jamie, I'm afraid. I fear and I'm worried. Oh, let me show you something. You two fellers, come here. You big old feller, come over here too, buddy. Line up in a straight line right here. Come on, brother. Come here, Kevin. Let me show you something to help you out. We preached about the armor, right? So I want to help you with fear. The Bible said He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of what? Sound mind. Right? He did not give us a spirit of fear. Right? Well, we already got an armor on, so why not get on the battlefield? You've got a sword. Well, you're still chicken. You're still scared. Well, let me see if I can help you out. The Bible tells me, amen, that I have the Father, the Holy Ghost, and the Son. You know what? They're ever before me. Here I am. For the devil to get to Brother Kevin, he's got to get through him. And that ain't going to happen. And if it did, then it's got to get to here. And it ain't never going to get from there to here. Brother Kevin's back here just having a good old time in God, and they're fighting for him. They're on the battlefield fighting for him. They're in the thick of the fight. He's got his armor on. He's ready to go, but he ain't going to have to fight a lick. And if he gets past here and gets to here, and it ain't going to happen here, is the one. Amen. Here's the one. He's never lost a battle. Did you not hear? Did you not hear this song this young man just sung? And you sat there with your hands in your pockets when this young man told you and sung a song that he's never lost a battle. He's never lost a battle. Now, what can happen? His brother Kevin can say, hey, I believe I'm going to go over here. Look here where he's at. Oh, we're in dangerous ground now. That's when that armor gets beat on. That's when that armor takes some dents and bruises and beating and bang. But guess what? There's one, when he moves with him. And praise God, when he moves with him, he ain't never going to lose. The devil is no competition. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all can sit down. So what are you afraid of? What kind of fear do you have? You got fear to praise God? Amen. I was preaching in church, very first revival meeting I ever preached, and it scared me to death. Lord got in it, Kevin. And man, I was scared to death. I was a young fella. I was absolutely scared to death. A man got so happy. He come back from the back pew. And he was so happy he run right past me while I was preaching. Scared me to death. And he came up and got this Christian flag. And I thought he's going to beat me with it. And I got moving and over on this side. He got that flag. And he was going from one end to the other. And he said, "We are victorious. We are winners. We've never lost. We're not losing now. And we never will." Glory! Glory to God, hallelujah.
Yes, sir, buddy.
I could get Methodists to shout out more than that. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Do we not understand who he is? Right. Who's blind? Right. Who's more blind?
Right.
They introduced him and he said, they said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." This blind man hadn't saw anything that God done. He hadn't saw him heal nobody. He hadn't saw him do all he had done, the miracles he'd done. He hadn't saw anything. He may have heard about it, but there's a difference in hearing and seeing. Amen. Amen. Isn't that right? There's a difference in hearing and seeing. That's like when somebody comes to altar, I like to slide up there with them. I'm kind of nosy. I want to know what they're praying about. Amen. That's true. Some nosy's good. I want to get up there and say, "Hey, I don't know half the people in this church. I don't know hardly any of you. So I don't know who's saved or lost. And if you come to this altar, I'm going to slide up there and go, 'Have you ever been saved?' That's nosy. And I'm going to get all up in your business."
Go ahead.
Amen. Did you not know that somebody sitting here may have been sold a counterfeit?
Right.
And we're too backward to line up here and say, "Have you ever been saved?" How about that? That's the truth, isn't it? If we really loved one another, we'd want to know. Now, we hear the testimony out of a lot of people, and we'll know that, and we hear their testimony, and we know. But there's some that never give a testimony. They'll come up here, and we just take for granted that, well, they just had some trouble or problem when they're on their way to hell. How about that? And they were the certain person. And you're you the one in the crowd that passes them on by and go pray about your needs? No concern about anybody else's? Who's blind? Who's more blind? They introduced him as Jesus of Nazareth. But listen to this. This blind man hadn't saw a thing. But you know what he done? He called him Lord. He hadn't saw him do anything. These people had saw him do all this work. You've seen God move in ways you can't dream up of, or people wouldn't believe it if you told them. Have you not?
Oh, yeah.
This man hadn't saw anything. And when he addressed him, he said, notice that. When the word Lord's there is a comma in the front, that meant a pause. He sat there and thought. He saw, called him Lord. There's another comma. Pause. A change. Do you understand that? There's a pause to think, a reaction, and a change. Praise God for the change. Amen. And all them people standing around there took God for granted and had to stand there. They didn't do nothing. It was one-on-one with this man and God. His soul was in the balance, and not one person was helping him. They was telling him to be quiet. They'd got so used to what God had done for them, they weren't concerned about anybody else. They weren't concerned about somebody else saying, "Hey, it's my turn. I need him now. I need him." Oh, when you needed him, you needed the whole church to pray with you. You needed everybody around. You needed to get on the prayer line. You probably even needed a prayer rag. Amen. But when it's somebody else, do you not know that they need him just as bad as you did? There's a preacher, I will not mention names nor where, but there's a preacher that I know very well. I preached revival meetings in his church. He's messed up his whole ministry. It's all messed up. He's ruined it. He's ruined it. And I was preaching in a church, and I ain't saying this to brag. I'm telling you what we ought to do. That's a hard thing to deal with, isn't it, Brother Kevin?
Oh, yes.
Nobody wants to be around that. Amen?
You're right.
Nobody wants to be around that problem and that kind of issue. Nobody wants to be linked to it.
Right.
Am I right?
You're telling it right.
But what's the Bible tell us to do? Restore.
Yeah.
Restore.
Yeah.
He's not lost his salvation.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Right.
Called him up, Brother Kevin. And I said, hey, I'm preaching at such and such church. Won't you and your family come? Did I want to do that? No, I didn't. I'm very protective of my ministry. My wife will tell you, I'm very protective of my family, my ministry, and my testimony. Very protective. Very, so much, so much. My wife can tell you that. I said, will you come? He wept on the phone, and the words he got out, we'll see you there. They came to that church, and their pastor came back and shook his hand, glad to have you, glad to have you. They got to come to the house of the Lord. Hey, listen, there's people that need the Lord just as bad as you did. Amen. You know, I hid a little of it this morning. You've got a sin too. You've got one hidden off somewhere. Amen. You've got it hid in the pantry. You've got it hid in the closet. You've got it hidden somewhere deep that you pray no one ever finds out. You know what I'm talking about. And God hasn't exposed it. Thank God for that. Just because somebody else has got exposed and yours didn't, don't make them any less. Don't mean that they have any less need than what you've got. Matter of fact, I respect them more for coming with a broken heart and saying, Lord, I've messed up, than the one that's sitting there hiding on to it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's right. They introduced him and he called him Lord. How about that? So let me ask you the question. Who was more blind? Was it the crowd that was following Jesus?
Yeah.
Or this man? Who was more blind that day? I think it was the people following him. Because they chose to be blind. This man didn't choose to be blind. He had no choice in that matter. He was born that way. Is this hitting anybody? He was born with a need. Amen. And these people had all their needs met. But yet they didn't see him. This man couldn't see him. But I want to tell you this. When he opened his eyes, it was love at first sight.
Praise God.
Amen.
That's good. No doubt.
When I got saved, I didn't know a lot. But I knew how I felt. Man, I loved him. Oh, I didn't want to let him go. I wanted to hang on to Jesus. I told everybody that I met that I got saved. I thank God every minute and every second for many days just for saving my soul and helping me feel the way I feel. What happened to that love? We got used to it. If you have a good spouse that loves you a lot, shows you love and affection that you need, and death comes through and swaps that person out of your life, you will think to yourself, I took that so for granted. I've heard people say you don't miss anything until it's gone. Boy, isn't that true? Isn't that true? Some of us getting a little older. Hey, we miss our good young days of health and strength now that they're gone. Right? Right? But here's the good thing. God's still God.
Hey.
We sung a song this morning. He's still the same God. He's still the same God that provided for Isaac. He's still the same God that took care of Moses. He's still the same God today that he was then. And we read the Bible and we're like, man, what a miracle. He's still doing that today.
Yeah.
Who is more blind? You or the lost folk in this community? Who is more blind? The one that has troubles and needs and comes and begs the Lord for help, are those that sit there with no concern. Who's more blind? Who was more blind in this? It was definitely the crowd. And you know the thing about it? The Lord knew it. For when the man got his sight, they did come back alive. For the Bible said that the man followed him, glorifying God. And what else did it say? And all the people.
Yeah. That's right.
You know what needs to happen sometimes? We need to be reminded of what God can do.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. And when once we're reminded of that again, we get our praise back.
Right.
How about that? This story is a story for the church. It's clear this is a story for the church. The day, today's church. We'll get so relaxed in church when it takes so much effort to get here. Amen. Look, you got to get up and set a clock. You got to get ready and get all them snotty-nosed kids ready. You got to be sure there's gas in the car. You got to be sure you don't get yourself killed before you get here. You got to be sure you don't get a speeding ticket because you're running late. And we slide in here 3 minutes till, and we'll get our seat. We'll be singing, say hallelujah, glory to God, sing this song, and go home, and that's it. When there's people dying and going to hell like this. Think about that. There's people dying every half a second. Going to hell. Broad is the way. It's expanding itself. One day it'll stop. And then we'll stand and give an account. This ain't fun. I'm sorry. But we'll have to stand and give an account when that stops. Your pride won't be in the way then. Amen. Who is more blind? Let's stand to our feet.